Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Jack Lindemuth of Strategic Solution Partners. In this discussion, we talk about the new kid on the block, the commercial role, that overarching role encompassing revenue, marketing, and sales. We explore what is driving this change, where this role is being adopted, and why there may be resistance at the independent hotel level. We dig into some of the core benefits of embracing this evolution, and how can independent properties and groups dip their toe in this commercial role without gambling everything on this change. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Jack. Good to see you again. Thanks for joining us today on one of our Coffee Time Chats. How are things for you? You well?
Good morning. Doing great, Trevor. Good to talk again.
Excellent. Yeah. And for those people that may be joining us or listening or watching for the first time, you and I have done a previous video, which was well received, really interesting. So I'm hoping today's will be similar. I'll obviously ask you just to do an intro in a moment. But before we do, let me just set up what we're going to be talking about today. And that's really looking at this, the evolution that is going on at the moment around the commercial strategy role, bringing together revenue, sales, distribution, marketing, all under one team and under one head. The emphasis around our discussion is going to be towards the independent properties, but we'll kind of move into that as we just explore this role in a little bit more detail as we go along. So first and foremost, let me hand it over to you. And you could just give us a brief introduction so everybody knows who you are.
Sure. I'm Jack Lindemuth, and I'm the founder of JLL Commercial Strategy. And I specialize in total revenue generation for independent luxury and lifestyle hotels and resorts. I also partner with Strategic Solution Partners as a member of their consulting division.
Perfect. So you're one of the PM partners, as one of our previous guests have mentioned. Perfect. Okay. Well, let's kick this off, first of all, by maybe setting the scene. So the commercial role, just explain to me, I mean, your hotel side, you're working with hotels, you're seeing this. What is the commercial strategic role all about? What's the current thinking?
Right. It's definitely a hot topic in the industry. I know there was a great webinar last week from, I believe, the hotel or the revenue manager series just actually did this. So it's been a hot topic. I think it was getting some light even prior to the pandemic. You know, some of the independents, which I think we'll go through in a shortly here, were starting at a corporate level to really break down the silos. Right. That's the common theme to this. And have a unified approach, right? A holistic strategy overall, bringing the revenue, sales, marketing. I also think it's important to define marketing today as there's a performance digital side, and that traditional PR and branding side I find is important, that resonates with clients, to sort of split that out, because it's not the same as it was prior to this big digital, you know, evolution through the years. And distribution, I think, is an important part in there as well, given that technology play. So really bringing all those together is, you know, one cohesive effort. And it can be challenging to do if you have all these equal directors, right, within that division. It's natural there's going to be misalignment and folks going in different ways. And then, you know, where does that bubble up to? Does it go to the to a GM that is, you know, one, maybe not from the commercial division, which is quite common, or they don't have the bandwidth, right? So that's where this opportunity comes in place. And at the end of the day, I think it's just, how do we run our businesses smarter? And this just makes more sense.
And what do you think has been driving the change? Is it the pandemic has forced this, but as you said, it was starting a little bit before that, or are there other factors driving this adoption?
Yeah, it's a good question. I really think it all comes down to the complexity of the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, the industry has become more complex than ever, especially with the pandemic, just another layer on the cake here. And the structure of this division, I think, just it needs to evolve to fit today's landscape. So, you know, just breaking that down further on what I think makes it so complex is it's really comes back, I think, to about five key areas in technology. Expenses outpacing revenues, you know, from an ownership hat standpoint, mm-hmm. increased competition, ownership profiles, and talent shortages, really, you know, fueled by the pandemic, especially. But when you look at technology, Trevor, I think, you know, it has changed the way the world does business in general. And our industry is no different, right? There's no exception here, right? We live in this online, digital, more transactional world. And what I just mentioned a minute ago, that traditional marketing that would sometimes be attached to a director of sales and marketing, and they just took that, that's very different. And it has been very different. That's a very sophisticated area that's constantly changing and extremely analytical. And then on to the expenses, right? From an ownership side and our responsibilities to owners at the end of the day, we're having the expenses increasing, that's outpacing that, revenue increase. It was happening prior to the pandemic. So how do we run our businesses smarter? And then competition, right? It just doesn't stop. New supplies coming. And don't forget about the ever-growing alternative accommodation sector that continues to disrupt certain markets. And I feel like 5 or 7 years ago, you could find some white space markets, of opportunity that could sustain some new supply, but good luck finding one today. I know I struggle to see them, even in these destination resort markets, because just looking at what the pandemic has done to a lot of those markets, of course, that's where all these investors and others are running to. And that pipeline is definitely growing in those areas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And just, ownership profiles, if I make a quick comment on that, I think just in my, time in the industry, I personally have seen the industry becoming more of an investment vehicle. Mm-hmm. So that's resulting in more sophisticated ownership groups. They have higher expectations, right? And the asset managers, right? Yeah. Highly involved asset managers. There's more of them, and especially those that are publicly traded. And then the last piece is talent shortages, which, as I mentioned prior to the pandemic, I know I personally saw a challenge with it across, the commercial leadership division, and this just fueled it. So how do we attract more internally and begin attracting more, I think, externally is a key piece to get those that never considered the industry before.
That makes a lot of sense. And if we, you can't group, hotels, but for the purpose of this discussion, we're going to try and separate out the independent properties and the smaller groups, let's say, from the large management companies, the large brands. So if we're looking at those two as two separate entities in that way, where are you seeing the greatest adoption of these commercial roles? Listening to all of the factors that you've just outlined there, I would imagine it's mainly the larger management companies, the larger brands that are leading these internal changes. Would that be fair?
I think in today's state, yeah, it's a pretty solid mix of big brands and independents. But Trevor, I think earlier on, I noticed more independents adopting this more sophisticated structure at the corporate level. And I think it just makes sense, right? Because independents, they can be quick and nimble. They're more entrepreneurial, so they can experiment and typically are more progressive. And, some of the smaller, groups, non-big brand, we'll call them. I know Kimpton, Taj Hotels, I think Kessler, I think probably around 2016, 15, in that time frame, that's when they started to roll these positions out. And then it has just really gained strong momentum at the corporate level especially the past couple of years. I think it's hard almost to find a company now that doesn't really have this dedicated position. I feel like I've seen so many announcements in the past, 8 to 12 months through, the height of the pandemic, new announcements of this newly created role.
And so is it something now that just you see is just being adopted across the board, or is there still a degree of reluctance or perceived resistance, objections to making these particular changes?
At a corporate level, yes. But what I think really needs to happen is at the property level, and laddering this down, because it's still very sparse there.
Right.
So that's what I think is the major opportunity coming up. And in my own experience, speaking to objections on that, really, I think it comes down to what I've seen of personally experience. It's really three key areas. It's either the fear that there's not enough qualified candidates, concerned that an existing individual within the division is going to be in fear of losing their job or be demoted, And also market or property complexity is, you know, thinking that it might be too much for this role. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my response to the objection of, you know, there's not enough qualified candidates is, you know, this role, it requires a dynamic leader. You need to be analytical, good business acumen, storyteller, you know, they embrace change, experimentation, and always be learning. But it's a unicorn's not required. So I'm not fully understanding why there's so much hesitation there in some cases.
Do you think it's a real hesitation or a bit of a fake hesitation? Like, it's easy to say, oh, there's no candidates. You know, we haven't got any staff. Do you think that's just a, oh, I don't know if I want to make the change, and so I'll blame a lack of caliber?
Very well could be. Yeah, I think it's a little mix of both. But, you know, my other part to that, to my response to that, when I do hear it, is I always recommend for them, you know, the property, go take a step back, analyze your commercial division turnover ratios and mm-hmm. cost. And what's that property's performance been like the past few years? And many are likely going to see a notable problem that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. It's tough for a property to succeed whenever you're turning and burning a director of revenue or director of sales or director of marketing every 18 to 24 months, which sort of became almost common, sadly, prior to the pandemic across the board. So recalibrating this is, I think, really, really key, right? We have to think differently. And this position just adds another, you know, step to the ladder of career opportunities. And the fear of losing a job, you know, or being demoted with the current team, you know, that one, it's, I think, it's a quick, easy response. It actually provides further career growth opportunity. And for those that don't want to go further, right, into that bigger role, they can still, you know, be a specialist in one area, right? There's multi-property roles, an adjusted role. So the one I think it gets the most merit that I'll agree with to an extent is the market or property complexity.
Before we just jump into that one, because I think you're right there, I just want to go back to the not enough qualified candidates as well. Do you think that's a reflection that, again, we're trying to recruit the same people from the same markets? I mean, if we are creating a role that is more strategic, broader, potentially greater impact on the property and business as a whole, maybe it gives us the opportunity to widen the industry sector that we're drawing applicants from. Would that also be fair?
I agree completely. I think it also shows depth. I feel, you know, personally, and I've heard, you know, from others through the years, there seems to be a longer runway at the property level if you're in operations, mm-hmm. right? So this will help give a longer runway in that commercial division at the property level too.
Right.
And hopefully pull in, like I said, some, you know, graduates of business school, et cetera, that never considered the industry before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe to your third objection, which almost undermines my last comment about looking for people outside of the industry. One of the ones that you agree with is sometimes the complexity of the market or the complexity mm-hmm. of the property. Why can you see that as being a legitimate resistance, maybe?
It's just going to require something that's even more dynamic, mm-hmm. right? And the candidate pool will be smaller.
Yep.
However, on the flip side of that, I think, you know, if the general manager is not experienced enough to lead today's sophisticated commercial division or does not have the bandwidth, which we find to be quite common, you know, are those traditional silos and running in that hamster wheel, you know, those multiple directors all being equal within the commercial division still providing the best net results? Likely not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think the other key piece to that is, you know, you're never going to find someone that is an expert in really all three, you know, three and a half of those key areas.
Yeah.
But it's having the right support for them, right? How do we ensure they're set up for success? You know, I compare it to a GM. You know, many GMs go in, they have one or two areas of expertise, and you surround them with the proper support piece. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think that's the ultimate path to success and ensuring a low probability of failure in this transition.
And I think, you know, and I think your second, the second objection that you highlighted about the fear of somebody losing their job, maybe less so losing their job, but maybe if somebody from the other department gets promoted into this role,
right,
then there may be an element where before they were at a peer level and now they are a subordinate, which may mean that they decide to leave rather than being asked to go. So I guess that is a potential challenge that maybe had to be dealt with later down the line. I think another key factor is probably about defining what the commercial strategy role actually means for your property. And that could be a completely different conversation that we could probably explore at another time. But unless you clearly define what you want that role to look like, there's no point, because otherwise it would be very easy to say, oh, I'll just promote my director of sales and marketing, or I'll just promote my revenue director. But unless you know what you're promoting them into and what you want them to do, you don't even look at whether they have the appropriate skills to then take on and grow into that role. Yeah.
Agree. Totally agree.
And so I guess there's probably then you've got to start to look at defining what you probably want to gain out of that commercial strategic role. So there's going to be some direct benefits of maybe making that change. Can you talk a little bit into what you would see in terms of how you would look to where you may be focusing the role, what might be some of the headlines, what might be some of the benefits you're looking to derive from making that change?
Great. That's a good question. It's not going to be a cookie cutter, exact same position responsibilities. It depends on the asset, mm-hmm. right? It depends on ownership's needs and goals. You know, mm-hmm. for example, if you have an urban property that's very heavy group and BT, you're likely going to need someone that is really an expert coming out of that arena. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, reverse of that might be a very heavy transient, no event space, you know, just a very simplistic property or resort market. And also from a pure independent to a soft brand to a brand, you know, just you got to look at those support levers. And, you know, if I can go back to what I mentioned on a little earlier, is, you know, setting this new leader up for success. It's understanding what are their blind spots and areas of growth opportunity and identify it at the beginning so they're properly supported. And so I think, you know, generally speaking, you know, I'm going to be stereotypical here with the three positions, but for example, you know, someone with a strong background in revenue strategy may need development to communicate better or be less rigid and aggressive in their approach. Or someone in that strong sales background may need development to understand all market segments and make more holistic decisions based on factual data, not just the market segments they've sold in their previous, you know, coming up through their career.
Yep.
And then from a marketing piece, probably understanding that sales process better or the revenue distribution systems better.
That makes sense.
So it's really not a one size fits all. And I think it's really no different than today. You know, a director of sales, you're going to identify that candidate based on your property's needs. Same with revenue and marketing. So it's going to alter by that asset's needs, which can be very different.
No, that makes
sense. I've been in resorts and I've been in urban, and they are very different skill set needed.
Yeah.
Same with the independent to the brand.
And all of them as well. I mean, the one thing that has accelerated over the last 2 years is the adoption of technology. So being cognizant, you know, we talk about coming from a sales background, we talk about coming from a digital performance marketing background, or we talk about coming from a revenue management background. Whichever background they come from, all of them need to have a strong grasp about technology and data and the value of the data. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And I think
double-edged sword of technology, right?
Sorry, say that again.
I think there's the double-edged sword of technology.
Yeah, but it's now a tool, isn't it?
It is. So powerful.
Yeah. And I think the ability and the need for each of those, you know, as each of those are learning within their silos the technology that they are utilized, but the appreciation of the technology across the different departments and understanding how they come together in that classic, everyone says, tech stack to be adding value to the property. You've got to be able to grasp that. What do you, with some of the hotels that you're you obviously work with, consult with a number of properties. So in terms of if they were saying to you, we've been thinking about doing something like this.
Right.
And I don't mean going down defining what might be relevant for what their unique property, but I mean maybe some more generic. If they said, what are some of the benefits? Why should we be considering making this shift? are there some kind of headline benefits that you would say, okay, just straight from the get-go, this is it, irrespective of what your property type might be? These are why you should seriously consider it.
Right. Definitely cost savings, mm-hmm. right, on total commercial division team member. You look at their compensation, recruitment fees, whichever. I've come across several smaller properties under 200 keys. You know, they have light event space, and they have three well-paid directors just within the commercial division. You know, that's a lot of payroll and benefits for a property of that size and overall revenue generation. So that's one, is the cost savings, but also just back to how's that property performing, you know, from an indexing and market share standpoint, revenue and profit. It's going to improve because the main benefit is having that consistent alignment and holistic strategy execution being done. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't help but to always think of that traditional structure to me equates to there's too many chefs in the kitchen. You know, right. How many properties do you see with multiple executive chefs? You don't. No. So having several directors, right, all considered equal, reporting up to a GM that has either no to little or recent experience in the commercial, in this division, to ultimately make that decision, it isn't logical to me. Mm. And then back to what we just mentioned earlier, the third, I think, key one is, you know, the expanded career path and recruitment, enhancement, improvement, expanding that.
No, that makes sense. And I guess in a way you could almost start to see the structure changing, where you could have a GM, and so you've got your one director who's solely responsible for like the guest experience, you know, everything that happens once they're in that property. You've then got someone on the commercial side who is responsible for everything leading up to that guest booking, staying with you, and then the after sales piece. And then those two almost reporting into the general manager. So you've got both sides of the coin, haven't you? What was traditionally the back office, the commercial sales operation, and then you've got the front of house guest experience piece.
Yeah, I see this role also sort of from my stance, really side by side with at the property level, mm-hmm. side by side with the GM and director of finance. Mm-hmm. Right, see, GM's driving operations, strong ownership relations, of course, and then commercial strategies, top line revenue, and also helping some of that profitability in certain areas as well with expense management. And then the director of finance bringing that as much as they can down to the bottom line. It's really, to me, that's the trio that should really be driving the property level.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And in terms of, I mean, you say that you're seeing this happening a lot more now. I think, as you say, a lot of the reservations are, apart from the complexity of the property, they seem a little bit more like easy reasons not to be making that step, rather than genuine objections or reasons why it shouldn't be happening. What do you see? Do you think we're getting close to reaching a tipping point where this is just going to be one of the things where everyone is doing it, so we've got to be following the herd? Where do you think we are in terms of that shift?
I agree. You know, following the herd is probably going to be a big driver here, right? It's definitely has worked in the corporate level, you know, as we've just mentioned, especially said right up to current day, continuous announcements of other companies jumping on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting this property level. You said they're very sparse, a few and far between out there, but just getting a few more out there and really getting, I think once a couple of these larger ownership groups start to see that success, it's going to spread like wildfire out there.
Yeah. And I guess as well, you know, we've got a generation that's going to be coming through over the next few years of graduate talent that are used to utilizing technology, are looking for roles and careers where they can develop but really have an impact and see the value of what they're doing for their employer. So there's almost an argument to say, well, if you start to make that shift, then your ability to appeal to that talent is probably increasing over those that are still working in a slightly more traditional way. Would that be fair?
100%. I like that, Trevor. Agree. Well said.
And in terms of, and so again, in terms of making that step, I mean, if I was sitting there, property level, let's say I've got the support, either I can see that it's happening at the group office, or I may be a smaller property, I've got the backing of my owner or investor, whoever supports it, and I want to make that change. It would seem like a little bit of a daunting undertaking. So, there's, I guess in a way it would be quite useful to, rather than one day I've got this structure, the next day I'm now going to have a different structure. I mean, how would you propose maybe companies, if they want to say, well, I'm not quite sure how I'm defining what I really want. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to be structuring the role. You know, I cannot go and recruit somebody unless I understand what skills they need. And to understand the skills, I need to know what their focus and what their objectives and how I'm going to be managing and measuring their performance and how that aligns into our strategy. So there's kind of, to me, there almost seems like an in-between transition stage that maybe people need to go through. Have you kind of seen that? Have you experienced that? Have you got advice to hotels that are maybe thinking, I'd like to make that step, but is there an in-between phase?
That's a really good question. I think if they're already there, and willing to go ahead and transition into this, and there's just a little bit of hesitation, I think it's all going to go back to really what's this property's needs and, mm-hmm. and really detail it out. Let's quantify it. What's this ideal fit for today's environment and that asset? I think the other thing to look back to is, where is your property at in its life cycle, right? Is it a repositioning? Is it a new opening? Is it stabilized? Is it losing share? But then evaluate the team. And I've done a good bit of, team evaluation and see if there's, opportunity for growth and coaching and development there. But are any of the current players, a possible fit for this, right? And then go back to what I mentioned earlier of, okay, then how do we support them and set them up for success with, addressing their blind spots or areas of development opportunity? And is that something they want as well? And then if not, then, okay, what does this look like hiring from the outside or having sort of that in between of, it could be a consultant component, temporary support part-time to ensure that risk is significantly reduced, right? There's no big flip within the team and resistance, et cetera. Got to keep the business, aligned and consistently going towards the ultimate goal here. But I think it always to keep reminding this, individual property level or the ownership group that might have a little anxiety about it, there's a greater risk and cost to continue on in that same traditional model. Mm-hmm. So we have to evolve here at some point and get used to really just it's change management and how do we embrace that and be open to it?
Yeah. And I think you touched on something there where you were talking about that almost the consultancy piece, because a lot of times, when you see large groups, large companies, they will bring in change management experts. And part of that role is evaluating as a consultant, the kind of the businesses look at it and say, okay, we need to invest. This isn't a cost. This is an investment of shifting our business into a new direction or into a new structure that's maybe better aligned with the way the industry is operating now. So to me, it would seem, if you're kind of exploring the idea and can see the rationale behind it, but you understand the destination and you understand the starting point, but the journey along the way, you're not skilled in navigating that and you maybe don't have that external support, then maybe bringing on board some consultancy advice, a third party to kind of help map out that process, start that questioning, and then maybe even start to run them and roll out in that function, almost in that commercial function. And that, in a way, gives a way of then seeing how where the friction may exist within the departments and where the right skills might lie. Because again, I mean, you've got to invest in training, upskilling your staff. So you need to look at, okay, who's maybe the most open to that? Who's got the right attitude for that change? Who's got the capacity to make that shift and adjustment? You know, that's a lot to take on when we're also trying to keep our property running and get it back on the ground as we're coming out. And now I'm going to shift my whole department. I mean, it just seemed to. I mean, I know you're sitting here, and this is a role that you perform. So it's you know, for anyone listening, say, okay, well, we know why we're talking about this, but it just seems a natural way to engage in actually saying, I don't have to rip up everything I'm doing and make a complete 180 almost, and the risks attached with that, mm-hmm. where actually there may be a more cost-effective way of being able to dip my toe in the water.
I agree. If I could add to that, and it's something I've done to help get comfort and have seen success, always do phases. You can make it a multi-phase approach, and it can be an extended period of time. It's just depending on the needs. So totally agree. It's not just a flip of the switch and let's see what happens. It can be a very, you know, measured and well-planned strategic process.
Yeah, and I think that's the key word in there is the, I mean, we use the word strategy or strategic. You hear it so many times, but this is a yeah. strategic shift that you would be making, and so it needs the time. And I think in a lot of these things, you probably need that input from outside if you don't have a group that you can lean right. into to help you make that change. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, like you, we're seeing it a lot. We're seeing a lot of the movement. I agree. Seeing a lot at group level, less down at property level. Starting to see that come through a little bit more now, which is why I think the bit that you said about following the herd. You know, if you're creating a more interesting role, a more engaging opportunity, you're going to be able to siphoning up some of that better talent that is out there looking to make a move. And that's going to make it tougher for your competition. So I think it's certainly absolutely a direction of travel. I think posed a number of things to consider through this discussion. Any final points from your side that maybe we haven't touched on or that you want to get across?
Nothing additional. No, this is great. We covered a lot.
I think we have. I think from my side, the overarching message that I took away when we first spoke about this, and certainly from this conversation, is this is really the direction of travel that those more open-minded is maybe the wrong word, maybe forward-thinking is a progressive forward-thinking hotels are going. And I think there is a risk that if you just revert back when business reverts back to normal and you just go back to operating in the same way that you did, then the divide between you and those forward-thinking properties is going to get even greater, and they're going to be capturing a much greater piece of that demand pie that is out there. So probably time to be making that shift.
Right.
Brilliant. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to get your insights on this. And look forward to hopefully having you join us again on another one of our Coffee Chump Chats. Thanks so much.
Likewise. Thanks so much, Trevor.
Take care. Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Jack for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you could give it a thumbs up or even subscribe, as it really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.